This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him for bestowing upon us the opportunity to observe Salatul Dhuhr in Jama'ah this rainy afternoon in Melbourne during this wonderful day in this wonderful month, a day of fasting in the month of Ramadan. And this is part of our lunchtime reminder programs. My dear brothers and sisters, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu famously said to his army that Umar does not fear regarding the skills of the army of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He doesn't fear the abilities of the army of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, but rather he fears the sins of his army. And he famously said radiallahu anhu that fear your sins more than you fear your enemy. The best of generations, my dear brothers and sisters, realized the effects of sins upon themselves. And they knew that these effects can in no way or form be positive. Rather, they will always be negative. And they would take heed, looking out for the repercussions as a result of their sins. We know from them who said that we would see the effects of our sins in our wives, in our children. In fact, we would see the effects of our sins even in our riding animals, in the animals that we used as a mode of transport. The day they became more stubborn with us, we realized it was because of our sins. We would not do a sin except that we would see these repercussions around us. The scholars that came after the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een never closed the door to this understanding. Rather, they wrote books discussing sins, the types of sins, and how these sins adversely affect you and I in this world and the next. From these scholars is Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He has extensive writings dealing with the effects of sins. And he says, rahmatullahi alayh, and I summarize for you all in this short reminder. He says, rahmatullahi alayh, that sins affect the body and they affect the heart, both in this world and the next. Meaning the repercussions of this pollution that sins creates is felt by a person both in this world and the next. He says, rahimahullah, that sins affect our intelligence. It affects our mental abilities, our cognitive abilities, because this mind which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us is a blessing. And every blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a light. And sins carry nothing but darkness. So when one sins, in effect, they are pouring darkness over this light. This light which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a human being. Thus it affects one's intelligence. It affects one's cognitive ability. It affects one's intellectuality. This is from the evil effects of sins. He says, rahimahullah, that from the evil effects of sins is the most important piece of flesh in our bodies becomes affected as well. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ لِلْجَسَدِ مُدْغَةٍ إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's nothing about our bodies except one piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is correct, the entire body will be correct. And if this piece of flesh is corrupted, the entire body will be corrupted. He says, rahimahullah, that our sins affect this most important piece of flesh taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this piece of flesh, or the heart, houses some of the most elegant qualities, such as the quality of iman, such as the quality of at-taqwa, such as the quality of at-tawakkul, and so on and so forth. He says that these sins, as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, start blackening the heart, shay'an fa shay', slowly but surely. It starts blackening the heart slowly but surely, until you find that your light of iman starts becoming darker, and starts becoming blackened, until it's sealed behind a wall of hardness and sin, that the light of iman cannot shine anymore. And if you think of this, brothers and sisters, if you analyze, you know, our weaknesses and the times in our lives when we have faltered, we've seen that at the beginning we've regretted the sin so much. But then as time went along, the sin would become second nature. And as time went along, we would happily do the sin. Wal'iyadu billah. This is a sign of that light of iman becoming hidden. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an-nadamu tawbah, that regretting after sin is a type of repentance. Why? Because if you feel regret after disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a sign of iman. If you feel regret, this is a sign of iman. Yes, we should be concerned about the sin, but in the same breath, we should have good hope that alhamdulillah, we still have a chance. There is still hope. Why? Because we have not regretted except because of our fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except because there is an element of taqwa within us. Right? Because taqwa entails building a barrier between ourselves and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, rahimahullah, that these sins blacken the heart until it pollutes it so badly that the light of iman stops shining, and a person sins without even realizing, they sin without experiencing regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. Ameen. He says, rahimahullah, that sins affect us in that it causes us to sin further, because sins give birth to more sins. Sins give birth to more sins. It is the delusion of shaitan, or he deludes us, that once we sin, we can seek forgiveness and istighfar. We can become better people after the sin. Let's just do it this one time, and we'll ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. I'm sure many of us have thought these thoughts. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except the person that Allah has showered His mercy upon. And this is from the whispers of shaitan that drives us astray. He says, rahimahullah, sins give birth to sins. It does nothing but this. Do not be deceived that you will become better after the sin. Except if you, don't believe that I'll sin and there will be no repercussions. This is what he's trying to say. And this is manifest in the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. For they said, let us get rid of Yusuf and we will become better people after this. But in reality, this didn't happen. For what we saw was a plethora of sins that happened after that sin. They had to lie to their father. They had to kill an animal without justice. And then plant a seed. This is corruption. They abducted Yusuf alayhi salam. They stole his shirt off him. They left him for dead. Right? They used emotional blackmail on their father thereafter. Sin after sin, sin after sin, sin after sin. So sins give birth to more sins. He says, rahimahullah, that sins desensitize us against sins. And sins causes us to practice other types of sins as well. This is what sins do. Sometimes we think it's only this sin. But we find, or if we analyze ourselves, now we have adopted other sins. And this adoption happened because of the first sin that we allowed to consume us. So sins desensitize us against sins. And this happens, right? Just yesterday we were driving to the Medina and there was a picture which, it's a type of illicit picture. It's a picture that should not be on a billboard being advertised for young people to see. And I said to the brother who brought me over to the Medina, that subhanAllah, why would this be allowed? Why would this make sense to people? This doesn't breed anything but immorality within society. Desensitizes us. Right? A kid growing up seeing nakedness becomes desensitized to the shamefulness of the act. Right? So what do you think this child is going to do? And that is why it's not strange today when we read reports in the newspapers, shocking reports of children of what ages and what they do. But the issue is, yes, what they do is an issue, but we should not forget what has caused that. It's how society desensitizes us towards sin by advertising to us a sin. So he, rahimahullah, lived how many, you know, hundreds of years ago, and he, rahimahullah, is citing for us this pertinent fact. He says, rahimahullah, that sins causes us to become lowered and debased in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Imagine, my dear brothers and sisters, how disheartening this point is. To know that, subhanallah, I am doing something that is causing me to be debased with my Rabb, with my Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of the worlds. And sins is a means of our punishment in the grave, a means of preventing us from attaining some of the benefits on the day of Qiyamah, such as having shade underneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as drinking from the hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then sins causes us to have a mighty standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when our deeds will be brought in front of us. There's no good that comes from sins, my dear brothers and sisters. And he says, rahimahullah, that if this is something you still do not believe and you're still debating, and it's as if he's saying this, if you analyze the context of his speech, he says, if you're still not convinced as per the evil nature of sins, then ask yourself what caused our parents, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, to be removed from Jannah. And ask yourself what caused this entire earth to become filled with water, water that reached the mountaintops, drowning the family on earth, except those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered His mercy upon. And if you doubt this, then ask yourself, what happened to the people of Thamud? And why did this happen to them? And what happened to the people of Shu'aib? And why did this happen to them? And ask yourself, what caused the place of the people of Lut to be raised so high by angels? So high that the angels heard the barking of the dogs of these people. May Allah honor us all. The angels heard the barking of the dogs of these people before tilting this place on its head and turning this dwelling upside down. What caused their destruction? And if you're still not convinced, then ask yourself, what caused Fir'aun to be drowned, him and his army, and then the water spitting his body out, so that his body could suffer until the day of Qiyamah and be a means of you and I taking heed whilst his soul suffers as well. And ask yourself as well, what was the cause of trials and tribulations that came upon Banu Israel? Trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation. Indeed, it was nothing but their sins. That which they did with their hands, this is what caused them to become debased. Take heed, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam. Indeed, this month of Ramadan is a chance for retrospection, a chance for introspection, a chance for you to understand exactly who you are. There's no way we can blame shaitan. Shaitan is chained. He's chained. If you have issues, if you have weaknesses with regards to coming to the masjid, with regards to looking after your sunan, right? If you have issues with unrestricted glances and so on and so forth, this is the time for you to get out a pen and paper and write it down and say, this is who I am, and consciously I need to fix this. Consciously I need to fix this. I said this to the brothers at Fajr today, right? We have a firewall and it's got gaps. Shaitan is infiltrating us through those gaps. And thus we have to shut those gaps before the month of Ramadan ends. And doing so is from the means of attaining taqwa. I will end off with The statement of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, an imam who is said, or it is said, that he would complete the Mus'haf 60 times in the month of Ramadan. 60 times in the month of Ramadan. This imam says, rahimahullah, that if sins had a smell, no one would sit next to me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength against shaitan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of istighfar, people who constantly seek forgiveness for their mistakes, for their sins. Everything said, my dear brothers and sisters, is not to cause you to become depressed. No, rather it's because we are an ummah that takes a stance. We do not sweep things under the carpet, we grab the bull by the horns. This was not said to relate to you doom and gloom and make you go back to work depressed, feeling like you're far from the mercy of Allah. No, it was said to give you the understanding. And with that said, I say to you all, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O Muhammad, to my slaves, those who have sinned and sinned and sinned, sinned so much that they have oppressed themselves. That is how much they have sinned. They have oppressed themselves. Tell them, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Tell them especially, never to lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah will forgive all our sins altogether, wholesale. And it won't even matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something easy. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all and shower upon us His mercy and forgive our parents and forgive our spouses and forgive our children and forgive our loved ones, our friends, those who make dua for us, those who we make dua for, and forgive the ummah at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the difficulties that some of our Muslim brothers and sisters are facing in Palestine and in other areas. Don't forget to make dua for them, my dear brothers and sisters. One thing which I didn't say, which is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has said as well, is that you and I affect the ummah when we sin individually. Never ever think that your sin or the harms of your sin is specific to yourself. Never think that. Your sin is causing destruction somewhere else. Your sin is causing trials and tribulation somewhere else. Not because Allah punishes people for somebody else's wrong, but because we are one ummah, we are interdependent beings, and what we do is a means of trials and tribulation falling this earth. We know that when we're not diligent with our zakah, the rain stops coming. The rain stops coming. And the animals suffer, and the insects suffer, and the innocent suffer, right? So don't feel for one moment that your sins affect you only, and you know, it's me, myself and I, and have the selfish attitude. Make dua for our brothers and sisters who are suffering. And if you can't help them in any other way, help them by becoming a better Muslim. Wallahi, when we become upright, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the condition and plight of a people unless they themselves change the conditions themselves. Take this message to your colleagues at work. Take this message home with you. Share it with your spouses and your children at iftar. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Inshallah, I'll see you tomorrow. And we'll see you tonight, inshallah, as we start our new segment to our series titled The Fiqh of the Seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.